Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marty Swedberg.
Well, welcome, welcome. This is Marty. I'm here today with our guest, Carolyn Smith, and we are going to be talking about how to be stronger than you think. Actually, you are stronger than you think. We're going to be talking about how to tap into that, including the difference between Holy Spirit-inspired self-control and will-powered self-control, what it means for a Christian woman to self-elevate, and why God is interested in us taking care of ourselves, three self-elevations, and why focusing on spiritual wellness is the most important, why living life without a strategy doesn't work, and what to do about it. Also, the importance of self-care, the reason you must act now, the easiest way to get started, and how to start today, the biggest mistake women make, and how you can avoid that, as well as what to expect as you move into a greater sense of self-awareness, self-care, and spirit-led self-elevation. Our guest today is Carolyn Drone Smith. She's an author, speaker, wellness coach, and the founder of Self-Elevate, a platform that empowers women. She is encouraging those who have experienced life challenges, and she guides us to elevate our mindsets through spiritual disciplines, fitness, and self-care. You can learn more about her at selfelevate.net and invite her to speak for your group via womenspeakers.com. Welcome to you, Carolyn.
Thank you so much, Marnie, for having me.
So excited to have you here. And this is an interesting topic because anytime we have the word self, it can get a little confusing, like it can feel selfish, or, and you know, we can get imbalanced in this area of our life. But you are here to tell us that there is a lack of balance here when it comes to taking care of ourselves.
That's right. That's right. That's correct. And that word, like self, and when you use the saying selfish, and that is something that we look at, especially as for women, you know, we sometimes think it's selfish to take care of ourselves, to pull ourselves away from our daily lives, like with our family, our careers, and everything else that we have going on.
Yeah. But yet, I always go back to when they asked Jesus, you know, what's the most important commandment? And eight times he says, says, you take, you know, you love the Lord, your God, with all your soul and all your might and all your strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. And so if you don't start with you, you've got nothing to give.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. You're pouring from an empty cup. And so it's so important to take care of yourself so you have more to give.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what's the difference between Holy Spirit inspired self-control and willpower self-control? So me just getting all this going myself versus letting God help in the process.
Well, you know, Jesus sacrificed his life and left us with the option for our own will. And one of the wills is that we have this will to make these better choices for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that is the lifestyle of self-care being one of them. And if you're someone just getting started out, you know, you need to seek God and ask him for guidance in this arena and to help you with the challenges that you're going to face along the way. And that is some of your own willpower to go and reach for something that you're going to probably been eating in the past that wasn't healthy for you. And so that's where, your spiritual wellness comes into play and asking for God for that guidance.
I think it's really cool how in the Bible that it talks about the temple, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
But then if you go back to the Old Testament temple, right outside when they went into the holy place and the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, right outside, there were two pillars right outside the door entering into that private area where God's Spirit dwelled. And it was called the Urim and the Thummim, which means the will and the way. And how God put that inside of us, this capacity to actually experience his presence as we're making choices.
Absolutely.
And that's really cool. So you use the word self-elevate, and that might sound prideful or maybe like, I don't know if I'm actually supposed, I'm supposed to be lifting Jesus up and putting myself down. So tell us why your book is called Self-Elevate and your website and your ministry. Why did you choose those two words?
Well, you know, self-elevate gives the individual the power. I think sometimes we think we have to depend on so many other things, you know, outside of God, of course. But, you know, he has given us the power to self-elevate. I mean, it is within us. It's within all of us. Within all of us, we all have the willpower to self-elevate ourselves through a lot of our circumstances.
I mean, I just think of laying in bed. Okay, it's night. You're in bed. You're sleeping. This is what you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
And
right.
Now it's time for you to self-elevate out of that bed and get going, right? I mean, so if we just start at the most basic.
Right, right, right.
God
right.
isn't going to pick you up and get you going.
No.
You actually have to do it yourself.
Do it yourself. I mean, as a lot of us like to lie in bed and just take that extra time. I mean, I'm one of those person that keeps hitting snooze. And I think a lot of women and a lot of people in general do that. And it is, again, your own will to like, okay, I've hit that snooze button too many times. It's time for me to self-elevate out of this bed and get my day started.
So why do you think that we think it's okay to believe that I'm supposed to elevate myself out of bed, but I'm not supposed to elevate myself into a better life circumstance, a healthier life choice, a more lucrative career? Why do you think that we limit that to a physical function like getting ourselves out of bed?
I know we look at it as such a chore. And I think for me, I struggled with obesity for many years, and it really took some life-changing circumstances to focus more on myself and my health. And I knew in order to be a better person for my kids, the circumstance was divorce, and so many women who have faced that circumstance, and men as well. But for women, you know, we take on a lot of responsibility after a life-changing event like that. And I needed to be the healthy for them to help us get through that challenging time in our life. And I just decided that it was time for me to do something for myself. Now, the first time I ventured out, I always say to use this word hiccups. There's going to be hiccups along the way. Sure. You know, you have good intentions to, you know, start a workout regimen or what have you, but then something can happen and you say, well, okay, you know, I'm not going back. I'm going to give up on it. And we're so quick to give up on ourselves as well. And it takes seeing some consistent results, and consistency is what's going to be the key factor in seeing those results. And so I'm going to say that it's not going to be the easiest way to get started is, you know, just to jump out the gate and you're on that wagon. All of a sudden, you know, you're there, you're doing it and you're going to stay with it. Because that's not always the case.
Hmm. Yeah, right. It's, you know, we all think that, you know, success is just like a straight line up, but it's not. It's like a squiggle around and, you know, it's a mess.
Yes.
It's a mess, but you actually get to keep going forward, which is the goal, is that you keep going forward closer to total dependence in Christ, right?
Right.
So what are the three self-elevations that you talk about?
I talk about the spiritual wellness, your mental wellness, and your physical wellness. I learned after I had lost the weight that there were still some areas in my life that were lacking, and to order to be successful in the weight loss journey and to in my journey of self-care. And that was the importance of my spiritual wellness, you know. You have to depend on God, and in that time, you know, take that time to pray, meditate, give that time to yourself, and also your mental wellness, because this is a very challenging journey that you're going to partake in. And life itself is challenging. And so you need all three of those components to be your whole self. And that is what self-care is all about, is not just one thing. It's all three of those components. And spirituality is what I consider the number one component of it all.
Hmm. So if I could put you on the spot and ask you for your favorite in each of these, what is one favorite, either a daily routine or even possibly multiple times per day, thing that you do in each of these three categories that really changed your life?
Well, you know, I've learned to over the years, it's been a journey. It's been like a marathon. So it's not a sprint. And each time I've learned to incorporate all three of these in a different way. So it's going to be different for each individual. So at this time, what I figured out how to do is while I'm on the treadmill, I'm going to be listening to some Christian music. And then I take that time to do my prayer while I'm on the treadmill. And also that also calms my nerves and get my day relaxed for my mental wellness ready for to tackle on the day. And so I'm excited when I leave the gym or if I'm doing this at home and that whole component of all incorporating all three things in that half hour that I've spent for myself that morning. That's how I've been able to do that. Now, each person is different, so it may be just taking a short walk. And then you may come home and then, you know, read your Bible for a little bit and then you may be quiet and sit still. Everybody's different. What I've learned over the years is to find a way to where I can incorporate all three of those within that short period of time. And it doesn't take a long time. I would say a half hour to 45 minutes of self-care.
Oh, that's really fascinating. I love how you did that. I wasn't thinking of it like that. And of course, it is like that. Everything is interrelated, right?
Yes.
And so, but I wasn't really thinking of it like that. I was thinking of very different components. But it's true. When I have the exact thing, when I run on the elliptical in the morning, that's when I'm doing my, I'm praying for all the women in all the countries of the world and, you know, kind of setting my spirit for the day. I love to. And I know some people don't love exercising in the morning, but for me, I just get up, get those tennis shoes are on and I'm out there running. So just love it. It's just, it's my favorite way to start a day. Yeah.
Yes.
So why is living without a strategy such a bad idea?
Well, you know, with strategies, as we know, our work days are made of strategies and unfortunately our lives have become somewhat of a strategy. And I think with COVID and how it has impacted us, you know, all the strategies that we've had in place with our day to day has come to somewhat of a halt. So we had to recreate ourselves and now we have new strategies. And so now is the time to like start thinking about, okay, how am I going to embrace the new norm and what is going to be the strategy and how am I going to attack my day to day on my physical, my spiritual and my mental wellness. And so it's about, you know, thinking about it in your head and mentally get a picture of it, you know, praying about what your next move and how important this is going to be for how we move forward. And possibly writing it down, stay accountable to yourself by journaling what your plan, your goals are for like the next couple of days, this week, maybe a month, maybe a year. And now all strategies are not without fail, of course. You have the hiccups and life challenges that may throw you off your strategy. But if you have it in writing or if you've already put it into motion, it should be pretty much easy as a routine to get back on track on that strategy. And so that's how I kind of look at my strategy. Like I'm always kind of trying to reinvent myself, something new that I'm going to embark on. And how do I see it? And how do I have to visualize it? And how am I going to bring it to fruition?
Yeah, right. So just for a little bit of background, go back a little bit. So how much weight did you lose and how long did it take you?
Well, I lost over 80 pounds. Wow. And yeah, it was a matter of about 6 months to a year. I started a boot camp, the first boot camp that I joined. And after I saw some results, I started rewarding myself again with the goodies. Wow. And, you know, I'm like,
went backwards a little bit. Right. We always look to just be straight, but it isn't always just straight.
I started rewarding myself and then it was starting to defeat the purpose of, you know, why am I paying for this gym membership? When am I going to just stop and go get some donuts? And then I realized that it was just also, again, it was more than the physical that I had to focus on what is mentally going on with myself and my relationship with food and why am I using this food as comfort. And, you know, we all love food and different great foods and we can indulge in those, but you have to understand your relationship with those foods and why you can't break yourself away from it. And it's just like any other addiction, and food is being one of them. And I stopped and started several times until I was able to get my head in that space to understand that I'm doing this to take care of myself, to be here for my kids. And if I can't stay focused, you know, then the depression and other things will start to come in that will affect me mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And, you know, you have to depend on God to get you through these challenging times of your weight loss journey and your self-care journey, because it is not the easiest thing. And so it took me a matter of the first 6 months to where I was able to commit on a consistent basis. And then after that 6 months had passed, you know, stop, start. I've been on a roll ever since. I've used that fitness as a way of helping me through a lot of life challenges.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Well, God has created the body in such a unique way that when you're actually, when you're exercising, you're increasing endorphins, and it actually, yes, it actually just is inspirational to do it. People, and I think important to me too, is to find an exercise that actually does invigorate you. It might not the very first time you do it, but stick with it long enough to find out.
That's
there
right.
are some that work better for certain people than others. And you're maybe not a biker, but maybe you're a swimmer. Maybe
That's
you're
right.
not a swimmer or a biker. Maybe you're a runner, you know, so to find what works for you.
Absolutely. And then sometimes, you know, you may join a program with a friend, and then maybe your friend stops going, and then, and then what do you do? Are you going to stop as well? Mm-hmm. And then understand too, that once you reach a certain level of your self-care, it can be somewhat isolating, because you may not be able to relate to the people that were around you before when you were in that other mindset and that, a way of self-care prior to your self-care. And it's understanding who you are and learning how to self-elevate through those challenges of that, of your weight loss journey, mm-hmm. and your journey of self-care.
Mm-hmm. You talked a little bit about how you talked yourself into doing it now. Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about why it's important to act now.
Well, you know, there's little signs, and I think that, you know, a lot of us know when it's time to start taking better of our care of ourselves. And it could be as simple as you went to a doctor's appointment and they may have told you something about your blood pressure, or something that they are the scale, the numbers on the scale wasn't something that you were happy with. And so you want to take those signs very serious. And we all are guilty ignoring the little signs that have come. And sometimes it's a spiritual way that God has told you that it is time for you to take care of yourself, especially if you know you're not giving all you can to God, and because of you're impacted through other things that have to do with your self-care. I mean, you have to be able to pour into Him as well as your family, as your career. I mean, God wants us to be healthy. And so listen to those little signs and understand that it's time to develop some type of regimen of self-care. And like you just said, everything is not for everyone. And it could just be a small change of that quiet time to yourself, where you've broken off from the day-to-day hustle and bustle of life. And that is some time that you've taken care of yourself for that 15 minutes. All it could take is about 15 minutes a day. And then if you start to feel a little better within that 15 minutes, you may add something else that you might want to do in that 15 minute time. And that may be take a long walk, or you may be a runner. You may be someone that want to walk. It just depends on what you find that you actually love and like, because everything is not for everyone.
Mm-hmm. So what's the easiest way to get started?
The easiest way to get started is, that's a really good question, because it sounds easy, and everything I've probably said may sound easy to your audience, but it is not the easiest thing to get started. But I think it all starts in your mind. And then when you know, okay, I really, really, really want to do this, you may reach out to a friend, maybe find a girlfriend and get started with, and say, hey, you know, I was thinking about, you know, starting to take walks. So you think you want to join me? Sometimes that's the easiest way for a lot of people, is to partner up with someone to get going. But if you don't have that, you know, I would say to just self-elevate like you do, getting out of that bed, stop hitting that snooze alarm. Stop hitting that snooze alarm and self-elevate yourself to a better lifestyle, a healthier self-care wellness journey lifestyle.
There was a book out years ago called 2 Degree Turns, and he talked about how so many of us want to start with a big, major, just flip all the way around. And he says sometimes it's easier to just take a 2-degree turn, just make a small change and get going. Just start getting some momentum.
A small change. And a start is a start, no matter when you start, no matter what age, what where you are in life, start is a start.
When it came to eating healthier, what was one of the small changes or even a big change that you made?
So eating healthier for me, at the time, my kids were involved with sports and activities. And so we would go through a drive-through and pick up some fast food. And so I realized that that was something that I had to change, even though I love to cook and I can cook for my kids, but it was just for convenience. You know, we pick up things. And so meal prep is something that's very essential. If you can plan out what your meals are going to be, that way that can kind of change up things for you on your day to day. You're not going to grab something that you shouldn't have because you've already planned and prepared your meals ahead of time. So that helps quite a bit.
Right. Back to being strategic about it again.
Yes.
Yes. So what is one of the biggest mistakes that women make and how can we avoid it?
So I think one of the biggest mistakes that women make is sometimes we don't feel worthy of breaking ourselves away, or we feel guilty of taking that time out for ourselves because we give. Naturally, we're givers, caretakers, and we feel guilty to take away. I know I write about in my book, The Will to Win, when I decided to embark on this wellness journey, how I'm like, okay, are my kids going to be mad because I'm not there with them for that short period of time, but I'm, you know, taking this time to myself so I can be better for them. And so once we get past that, where we say, okay, I'm doing this for myself, because we don't like to take time out for ourselves sometimes and we feel guilty.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is really, I mean, with the words self-elevate, you really have this in our faces here where we're either going to decide to take care of ourselves or we're not, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because what's the opposite of self-run down, self-submerged, self-ignored?
Yeah.
You know, when you think about the opposite, it's not a good place to be.
No. And so you have the power, and you have the power to self-elevate through this, to this journey. You're self-elevating anything bad. You're self-elevating and taking yourself to another level.
And in fact, to a place where God has called you to be.
Absolutely.
I just want to address the humility piece about this here too. It's not that you're being prideful in this at all.
No.
I loved Elizabeth Elliot. Her definition of humility was flexibility. And basically, when we think about Jesus, Jesus was humble. Man, was he humble. He came to earth. He put on flesh. He lived in a human body. And yet he was God. But did that mean that he just let people run over him, that he didn't have any boundaries, that, you know, it didn't mean any of that. Humility did not equate to weakness, to being hidden. He did everything God called him to do humbly.
Humbly. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So this self-elevate isn't really about you saying, I'm all that. It's about you saying, I want to be all God created me to be.
I want to be all that God created me to be. That's what self-elevate is.
I stand with Christ.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So if you're willing to go in an elevator to another level in a building, then you're willing to do this.
Absolutely. You're taking yourself to another level.
That's right. You're just saying, I see that I'm on this floor, but there's more heights to be
there's
made.
There's more heights. We can always go to another level. There's always that next level to go to.
What should we expect as we start to move into a greater sense of self-awareness, self-care, and even spirit-led self-elevation? What should we expect to happen?
Well, you should expect some hiccups and challenges Because it sounds so easy.
No smooth ride ahead.
there's no smooth ride. I mean, you're going to have some life challenges that may happen. I talk about in a book, I had to deal with grief while I was dealing with my self-care. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was faced with a challenge of if I'm going to stay on the self-wellness journey, because I had felt like grief had impacted me so that I didn't want to move forward. And so I decided to do something new. I created a bucket list for myself, and I decided I had never ran the full marathon here in my city that we have a marathon annually. I had done the half marathon, but I put a list of things together that I wanted to achieve, and I took the focus back on my self-care to help me deal with my grief. And that was one of the things I encourage people to do is to, you know, when these challenges come, you know, don't fall off, because it's so easy to fall off. I mean, as you know, and when you're dealing with the death of a loved one, you know, people always bring food to your house and, you know, all your favorite things that are your weakness at that time, you just want to overly indulge in. And I saw myself going there and, taking myself back probably 10 years. And so I decided to kind of reinvent myself through the process of grief and just put a bucket list of things I wanted to accomplish. And so I would say, when these life challenges happen, because those are things that you are going to, that's going to happen. I mean, it shouldn't be like what to expect, because it's just how, you know, our lives are set up. So to just stay focused and continue your journey of self-care and wellness.
Yeah, I love that. And thank you for sharing that too, because I think it is. So when we think about how the body is created to handle equilibrium, when you slip, it is not a conscious decision to put your hands out to break your fall.
No.
It just happens. No. And when you're in a situation like that of grief or of a huge life trauma, what happens is that your brain says, I need everything that I used to call normal right now.
Right.
Yeah. And so Absolutely. It's like an automatic response, but you don't have to stay there. Just because it happens automatically doesn't mean
yes.
like if you fall, you don't stay on the ground. You just get
no.
back up.
No. Yeah. And that's when all those components come into play, your spiritual, your mental, and then your physical wellness, but mostly your spiritual wellness at that time. That's self-care.
So if you would speak to me and to others who are listening to you and say, I have tried and tried and tried, and I have still not succeeded at taking this excess weight off, what would you say to us today?
Don't give up, because do not quit on yourself. Do not give up on yourself. Yeah. Continue to find that thing that is going to be your niche. I mean, you know, there's some things that you say, well, I would never, you know, run, you know, I never saw myself running a marathon ever. And I ran that marathon, and that was like 26.1 miles. And I never saw myself doing that.
Yeah.
And I just put it in my head that I was going to complete that marathon. And I even failed like 3 miles from the finish line. I cramped up and they asked if I wanted to possibly be carried in across the finish line. And I was like, no, give me a minute. And I was like in tears, and I was like, I am determined to get back up and I'm going to go across that finish line. And it was a gentleman that was there. And I say it was an angel, because he came up and he said, you know, I have some cream I can rub on your leg to get that cramp out. And he said, I can help you run across. And we ran across together, and I never saw him again. And so that's why I was determined to finish that race. So life is like a race. It's like a marathon. It's not a sprint. So you have to, like, when you fall, you have to get back up. And of course, it's not like the easiest thing. It's not going to be a smooth journey. But just don't give up on yourself. You can self-elevate to that next level. No matter if it's one floor up, like you just mentioned, the elevator, it could be you going
all the way to the top.
To the top. I I mean, you may stop in the middle. Yes, yes, all the way to the penthouse. You may stop on the first or second floor and women's shoes, but you know you want to go to the housewares at the top floor.
I love that. I love that. That's awesome. Well, I'm so grateful for your life. Thank you for just the testimony that you've shared with us today. It's been inspirational to me, and I hope you guys have enjoyed it too, but thank you so much. And now I want to encourage you guys to check out Carolyn's new book, which is Self Elevate, easy to remember. You can find that at her website, selfelevate.net. And also she is available to speak for groups online or in person at womenspeakers.com. You can find her stuff over there. If they go over to the selfelevate.net, what are the options there?
The options is just basically a landing page right now, okay. But you get my information and then you can purchase the book from there. And it's Self Elevate, A Woman's Journey to Empowerment.
Awesome. And you guys want to keep in touch with Carolyn. And thank you so much, my dear. Loved having you here today.
Thank you so much.
And thanks you guys for joining us. And it's always so fun to hang out together. I look forward to seeing you next time. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.